think this afternoon about commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very easy to be woolly. It's very easy to be vague. Very easy to say, of course, we're Christians. We've been brought up in a Christian culture. Now, I hope and I trust that as a result of COVID-19, there will be many who will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. COVID-19 ushers people to an early death. It does so when they're not looking. It does so when they're not expecting. And sooner they are out of this world before they know it. And of course it might be you. The Bible teaches, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches, that when we die, there are two destinations. One is heaven and everlasting life, where there is no more sin or suffering or sorrow or pain. But the other is hell, an eternal fire, the appropriate punishment for those who, living in a world that God has wonderfully made, say, we don't care. We'll just do what we want to do. It is my prayer and my hope that many will be brought to their senses to see that there is a creating God through this pandemic. That he, in fact, not only has sent it, but knows exactly where he is delivering it to. He is in pursuit of those who will not trust him, who do not believe in him. But that is very scary. It makes people afraid. And there must be hundreds, if not thousands, of boys and girls wondering on their beds, am I going to be all right? Supposing I catch this COVID, will I recover or will I die? What will happen to me after I die? And there must be many older people who know something of the sin that they have done and who say to themselves, supposing tonight I catch this disease and I can't breathe, and supposing I don't wake up tomorrow morning, or I'm in great pain but they can't do anything for me, what's going to happen to me? There must be hundreds and thousands of people who think like that on their beds or by their firesides. But there's no one there to help them. We know the answer, who are believers in the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But here are people, they never went to Sunday school for the most part. They really don't know much about the Lord Jesus Christ, except as a word they may use to swear by. And now this has come upon them and it's taken them by surprise. And there's no one to help. It's the middle of the night. Oh, and when they wake up in the morning, if they're still all right, they can't really go to someone else and say, here, I'm afraid to die. Tell me what I must do. The way is closed to them. But if the Holy Spirit wonderfully gives you opportunity, the Lord Jesus still comes to men and women and boys and girls to save them from their sin and to remove the guilt of their sin from them. Now, I read a rather obscure New Testament passage which said that why Jesus, so that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. thousands of opportunities were given to the Old Testament people, the Jews, to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time a goat or a bull or a lamb, every time their throat was slit and the blood poured out and the animal died, the Lord gave a picture that the priest was supposed to explain to them, that the shedding of the blood was the only way that sin could be atoned for. The shedding of the blood of an innocent victim. The animal didn't deserve it. But if a person was to be saved, if sins were to be forgiven, the animal had to be slain, because God was teaching that actually his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, one day would die on a cross to make atonement for sin. And we read that when the animal's blood throat was slit, the body was carried outside to be burned. In the early days, it was a camp. And the body was taken outside and burnt to ashes, so that the camp itself, the living quarters, God's ark, wouldn't be defiled. And so it was that when these things happened, it was the Lord's way of showing the total destruction of the creature that was sacrificed for sin. Now, it didn't happen quite like that to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came, the Son of the living God, many years later, but 2,000 years ago now, when he came as the Son of God with all of God's approval to suffer death, to be a sin offering, that those who present that offering, guilty sinners, confessing their sin and repenting of sin, believing in the Lord Jesus, seeing that he was utterly destroyed from this life before his time, we may put our trust in the Lord Jesus. And whatever sins we have committed will be forgiven us. Now, if there is any risk that we might soon die, that is urgent good news. We want to be sure that our sins will be forgiven. Otherwise, the option is not heaven, but the everlasting fire of hell. And none of us by nature wants that. So we only have one alternative, and that is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know much about him, we, of course, try to preach the gospel every week, and many churches do, so that you can believe. Or you can read the Bible, particularly to start with the New Testament, and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not just a name. But he died outside that camp. When he died, he was taken outside of Jerusalem. All the Jews were gathered there together to offer their Passover. But he was removed outside, put on a cross. All those Jews thought they were pleasing God. But it was the one man outside the city wall, outside the camp, so to speak. But of course, not a camp in those days. Jesus was the one man who was pleasing the Lord God. The Passover spoke, reminded them for many years that the Lord would pass over their sins if they were covered by the blood of the sacrifice. But the Lord Jesus, that one year, outside the city wall, was that blood sacrifice and bore away the sins of all those who repent and come to him and seek him. So the first thing that any of us must do, if we're taken by surprise by COVID, if we're afraid that we might die well before our time, as we would say, if we're afraid that we might not survive the night, first of all, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In our minds, we must turn to him. But we only turn to him because he first is drawing us to him. Never forget that the Lord Jesus so loves the world that those who believe in him, he draws to himself. What a lovely thing it would be for you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ was attracting you to him. But what I wanted to talk about this afternoon was that one day, we hope, this pandemic will have passed. There are recorded in the Bibles pestilences and plagues, which over much less time than we've had this pandemic, have killed many more people. On one case, 80,000 in 3 days. It's happened before. And in Roman days, there was a pandemic that lasted 15 years. And with all these things, many people did turn to the Lord in those days, but many didn't. So we don't know how long this is going to last. The Lord speaks in Isaiah that he is angry, that he's angry with wicked deeds. And as long as those wicked deeds continue, his arm will be stretched out still to direct the progress of COVID. He might relent, of course, give us a few years off and then start again. I'm partially joking. But of course, this isn't a joking matter. We are faced in our time, in our one life, with the possible of potential early death, from which there will be no restoration and no hope. And if you turn to the Lord and are very frightened, then you needn't hesitate to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will receive a frightened person. We mentioned this morning, like the disciples were frightened in the storm and they called out to the Lord, help us. And the Lord will respond to those who are frightened and who call out to the Lord, help me. The problem comes when COVID ends, as we hope it will. Then what are you going to do? While it was on, you felt its possible ravages. You felt very much that you were in trouble. And you thought you'd turn to the Lord and he received you. But now it's over. Now the foot is off the accelerator. Now the trouble has passed, when it does. The question then is, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, it's all over now, I go back to normal, no matter about God anymore? Or are you going to say, actually, it was the Lord God who delivered me from the possibility of death at that time. He was loyal to me then. I will be loyal to him forever. And that's really what I want to emphasize just this afternoon. If you've got to that stage that you've flung yourself upon the Lord Jesus, that you've trusted him, that you want to be certain that he'll keep you as his forever and give you eternal life. If you want to be sure that that will still remain real to you long after the pandemic is over, then you need to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to say, as we read in Joshua. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you must choose today whom you will serve. There were gods in the land we came from. There were gods in this land where we'd now settle. If you're not going to be faithful, just worship them. They're idols. But as for me, I and my family will serve the Lord. And of course they all said, of course we'll serve the Lord. Of course when we got men, we might remain faithful. Of course we'll remember all he's done for us. Joshua said, you won't, you know. They said, we will. All right, said Joshua, it's on your own heads, but just fail and you're in trouble. If you say, me, I will serve the Lord, it's permanent. It's forever. You can't back down. And if you back down, you're just like Peter was when he was walking on the water. He hadn't been in trouble, but now he is. Serve the Lord. If you turn to him, and if you know that he's looking after you, if you know that he's forgiven your sins, you make your dedication permanent and you will know the Lord's blessing upon you. So we're told in the book of Hebrews that we read, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, when the Lord Jesus was dying naked upon the cross outside the city where most devout people were busy worshipping, there were some hostile people who went by and reviled him. And the thieves that were crucified on either side of him did too at first. But most of the people who went were those who had reason to love him, his mother, his disciples, the women anyway who were his disciples. John the disciple was there, though the others had fled. But they went to him away from the city. And they thereby indicated that they were at one with Jesus, not with all that crowd in Jerusalem. That they believed Jesus was right, that they believed that Jesus was God's messenger. And for that, they would leave the popular view behind. When Paul wrote these words, let us go forth therefore unto him, Jesus had died and risen and ascended long before. So he's talking to us spiritually, that we may, in our place where we live, in the time in which we live, that we might go forth unto him outside the camp. So we might say that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and having our sins forgiven was going out to him. But then there are those words in the Bible, without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, without is the opposite of within. The famous hymn puts it in other words, outside. Outside the city wall. So, here we are. We've had great mercies. And we go to him. And we seek his pardon, and we seek his salvation, and we seek his help. But to do that, we've got to leave the world. The majority, according to the Lord Jesus, will go down the broad way that leads to destruction. There is a narrow gate leading to a narrow road, and he said, few there be that find it. So we now have to, in our souls and in our minds and in our lives, leave the majority, leave the broad way, and pursue the narrow way. The text said, bearing his reproach. The Lord said in Psalm 69, the reproaches with which they reproached the Lord, the Father, fell on me. And the hatred people have for God fell on him. And no one would believe in him unless the Lord's Spirit turned to us. He is reproached. Most of mankind reproach the Lord. If you just want a microcosm of it for yourself, listen to one of the things from Parliament. Is it the Lord Jesus Christ who is honoured that they've found the secret of all the things he's made and can give a vaccine, or is it the scientists? Who was there first? Do the scientists deserve our approbation? Well, they've worked hard to study, yes. But without the original creation of the Lord God, there'd be nothing for them to have approbation for. We do have to get our priorities right. And the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins outside the city wall. And therefore, our commitment to him, who died and rose again, is to be one that we reject, that we renounce the common view about everything, and will stick firmly to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that what he's done in making atonement for our sin is worth everything put together more than all the things in the world. We must believe that. And we've got to cling to the Saviour in that way. Or put another way, the verse goes on to say in Hebrews, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Jesus, after he died, was raised again from the dead, and then ascended into heaven. And the angels told the watching disciples, he's going to come again in the like manner in which he went from the clouds. And Jesus is indeed going to come again. And he's going to come with all the glorious angels and all believers who've died in the Lord. Meanwhile, and after that, he has dwelt in the presence of his Father in heaven. Those who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ have got nothing further to expect of this world. The old Negro spiritual said, we're just a passing through this world. Our treasure is laid up way beyond the blue. The treasure is in Christ. He died for us. He has loved us. He has saved us. We are committed to him. Where he is where we want to be. And therefore, because we're natural creatures, because we're human, we do rather like this world, and we were made to do that. But when the chips are down, when the priorities are needed, when the spiritual part of our life is reawakened and comes to the fore, we've nothing further to expect from this world. There will be many martyred, like Jesus was martyred. There will be many killed in other ways. Why? Because all nations are hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in those nations which have called themselves Christian, the vast majority today are hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we go to him, we've got to accept that our view now will be totally different from the world. And we've nothing more to expect from this present world. Everything is in heaven in the future. All our treasure is laid up in Christ, in the heaven. All that is so much better than this world is waiting for us in that glory. Here we have no continuing city. The world will one day be destroyed and all the works in it. But heaven continues. The word of the Lord never passes away. And every word, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, will never pass away till the last man or woman or boy or girl is alive on earth. He will still be saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He still calls us to himself. So, if you have been faced in this COVID pandemic with things you were never thinking would ever happen, beyond your wildest thoughts, and yet you've got your only life in these days, you can't run from it, can't escape it, you're here in the middle of it. You do have an option, and that is to believe in the Lord Jesus, that whether he takes you to be with himself soon or whether he doesn't, you are his, and he will look after you. And if the immediate pressure goes, you stick by him, you serve him, you learn more about him, you listen to him speaking in the Bible, and your destination too will be secure sooner or later. Amen.